Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the Jews to be.
And it is another Thursday night here in the month of June. Brother Brandon Teague. And it is another Thursday night here in June. Brother Brandon Teague on the Old Paths broadcast. Coming to you from Faith Baptist Church. Stacking the Stones of Truth. That's our theme music, the Marksman Quartet. And what a fine group of men they are. And that message, that song is very powerful. My friends, you and I'm talking to Christians tonight. Even if you're not a believer tonight, we want you to stay with us tonight. We want you to listen. And maybe God tonight may grant you repentance unto the truth, and you may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from your sin and be saved unto eternal life. But my friends, if you're out there listening to us tonight and you're a believer, you trusted Christ, you're born again, our job tonight is to point you to some important truth, something that has been, it's been swept under the rug. We've been made to forget some things. We need to stack stones of truth. We need to uncover some things as we build. You know, back in the Bible in Nehemiah, he had the children of Israel rebuilding the wall, and they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. We're to build. We're to keep building the kingdom of God. We're to keep bringing souls into the family of God. But we are not to forget that we are to battle. And that is what we're here to do tonight. I'm going to bring in my co-host, all the way from the great state of Minnesota. And by way of Skype tonight, glad to have him with us, my good friend, Brother Jason Cooley from Old Paths Baptist Church. Good to have you with me, brother.
Amen, brother. Good to be here. And what a topic to talk about here tonight. And I know every time you talk about Satan and you try to expose that wicked, that mystery that Satan shrouds himself with, it seems like troubles will come your way, and the old accuser will come in, and he'll always try to hinder that, because he doesn't want to be revealed. He doesn't want you to know the truth. He wants God's children to walk around ignorant. Listen, I've said this before, I'll say it again. The Christian life is not a cakewalk. It is a war, and we need to get that straight. We need to understand that.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, as Brother Lester Roloff used to sing, you know, run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. And I'm telling you something, it takes the grace of God. It takes a faith in the Almighty God and His sustaining hand and His sustaining grace. It takes keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes a firm foundation in the Word of God to stand in this battle. I'm telling you, we have to have the Lord's armor on. We've got to have the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. We've got to have the sword of the Spirit. We've got to have that belt of truth. We've got to have those gospel shoes on. I'm telling you, because we are fighting an enemy. And it is a serious battle. And brother, you know, I've been talking to you, and I've been going through a battle today. And I'm telling you, it seemed like everything has been dumped on me at once today. And I'll be honest with you, brother, I've been going through a serious, serious spiritual battle ever since we began this series of satanic deception. And I knew that was going to happen. I had a feeling that was going to happen. It's happened before as I've done shows exposing Satan, and it's no shock, it's no surprise, and it's part of the warfare, and you have to take that into account. You know, the Bible talks about counting the cost before you go to war, and we have to count the cost. There's going to be some casualty. There's going to be some bloodshed when you go to war. And you have to count the cost of whether the truth is worth it. And I believe the truth is worth it. I believe sparing the lives of innocent ones out there who don't know any better, it's worth it to go to battle, even if it's going to cost you some pain and suffering in the process. But thank God we have a great and a mighty God who sustains us in the battle.
Amen, brother. That's exactly right. That's why God has given us that spiritual armor. The day we trusted Christ as our Savior, the day we came in repentance and faith and believed the gospel, and we came into the family of God. And God, as soon as we came into the family of God, the Lord has a sword for us. It's the Word of God, and He gives it to us. And He says, now it's time to war. You're on my team now. You're my child now. Now, listen, you're going to need this spiritual armor because you have an enemy out there. You have an adversary out there. And I really, really, really am doing this show here tonight on this topic, Brother Brandon and I are, because we want people to understand that you are in a war. And if you're not fighting the war, you're being fooled by the war.
Mm-hmm.
You're being lulled to sleep, brother. That's what's happening. Those that don't do anything for Christ and don't get up and fight the devil and resist the devil, the Bible talks about, and he will flee from you. If you don't do that, if you're not fighting the devil, then you're being lulled to sleep by him. You are being caught up into a trap by the devil in a snare.
That's absolutely right. And just seems like around us, the whole wide world, it seems like, are caught in that snare. They're being hushed to sleep. No, don't worry about the devil. The devil's not real. The devil's just a caricature. He's just make-believe. They call good evil and evil good. And on that note, I just want to say tonight that we're thankful for this medium of Blog Talk Radio. I want to say that I'm thankful for this medium of Blog Talk Radio, and I want to thank our listeners tonight. In the last week, we had somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1,400 listens. Archive listens to last week's show. And I just want to say to those of you that have been listening to the show, thank you so much for tuning us in. We realize there's a lot of ways to spend 2 hours of your time, but I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for giving God's Word a listen. Thank you for opening up your hearts to the truth. And even those, and also, brother, we've got listeners. On Blog Talk's page, I wanted to tell you, I don't know if I've told you this, but on Blog Talk's page, there is actually a record of those who are following your program. And some of the strangest people follow our program, brother. There's actually a black militant group out in Los Angeles that follows our program. So I want to say hello to the black militants out in Los Angeles and welcome them to listening to our program. And there are some other left-leaning liberal media groups that are listening to us. And we want to say a big hello to them tonight. I realize some of those people are probably cheering against us, but we just want them to know, hey, we're glad they're listening, whether they're for us or against us. Thanks for listening.
Yes, I mean, the truth needs to get out. If somebody's going to listen to the truth, then I'm all for it. And that's what God's called us to, is to preach the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and we want to get that message out to everybody. And tonight we really want to warn you. We want to warn you that the devil is your adversary. And just brother, by some way of some verses, if I could just open up with some of these verses here.
Absolutely, go ahead.
And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, if we just stop right there, the first phrase to me is just so powerful. The first thing that he says, the first command in that verse is be sober. Now, Brother Brandon and I have done a series on Hollywood here. We've taught against Hollywood. We've taught against the satanic rock music. And why? because we're calling you to a soberness. We're calling folks to a soberness because the Bible says, be sober.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving us instructions to defend ourselves against the devil. I think it would be wise if we would listen to the Apostle Peter, who was sifted, who was attempted to be sifted by Satan. He had fell for Satan's tricks many times. Peter. So who better qualified, a man that had gotten the victory finally over the devil in that way through the Lord Jesus Christ? But he says, listen, it's time to be sober. It's mm-hmm. time to be serious. It's time to awake out of your sleep and to be serious. Be sober. Be serious. This is not just talking about, Brother Brandon, it's not just talking about don't drink alcohol or do drugs. That's not the entirety of this statement.
Right.
That is a given right there. That's the first thing. Be sober. Yeah, don't drink liquor. We understand that. But mm-hmm. that's not what he's saying here in its entirety. What he's saying in its entirety here is be sober-minded. Don't be drunk with the cares of this life. And don't be drunk with the amusements and entertainments of this world.
Right. And we talked about on the last three shows, we talked about those who are, they're lulled by the music. You know, music is rock music or classic rock or pop music or rap music or country music, the soundtrack of their life, just constantly bathing their subconscious in those satanic themes over and over and over, like somebody sitting around listening to some new age positive reinforcement tape to soothe them and help them sleep or something. I mean, it's just mind programming, and it keeps them from being sober-minded. It keeps them from being serious. Or they sit and watch that television hour after hour after hour after hour, like we talked about, turning their brains off and just letting them be programmed. That's why it's called programming. They program their minds to believe and think and feel like the world, to be drawn in with the emotions that the world has, to be, like we talked about, with the situational ethics that the world has, to watch the movies like we talked about and be entertained by devils and to have their emotions played upon and to follow that hero even into sin and agree with that hero and cheer for the hero who's committing things that we know in the Word of God speaks out against, but yet to champion those things and even stand up against the people of God when they try to call out that sin. I'm telling you, if that were an example for me to show that people cannot be sober-minded, it's that Christians today absolutely stand up against those who decry Satan's attacks on them. They absolutely don't have the seriousness to see it for what it is.
Amen, brother. That's exactly right, because we've been lulled to sleep through entertainment, and that's why the Lord has led me to preach this series on Hollywood. I've preached probably a 6 or 7 part series on Hollywood and dealing with this whole issue of being sober, and it's fascinating to me how people will, you know the devil has won over some folks when you see Christians railing against Christians that are standing up against Hollywood and that are preaching about the wickedness of Hollywood, and then them getting angry and mad at you. It's almost like Stephen when they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were so upset about it. Why? Because that entertainment has caused us we are drunken with entertainment today in America. We are drunken with that, and we don't know our Bibles, and we don't know what our enemy, because we've been entertained by him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, again, drunken, just absolutely drunken. And, you think about a drunk man, and I'm mindful of that passage of Scripture that says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that passage of Scripture is such a contrast that Paul is making there. He's making a contrasting statement in order to teach us the truth. And, when you think about a drunk man is the most, one thing I've learned, and I hate to admit this, but I mean, my dad was a drunk. And being around my dad, when he would drink, man, he became the most generous guy. You know, he wanted to buy everybody one. You know, and that's one thing about a drunk. Everybody's their friend, and they want to buy everybody one. Well, you know what? I'm telling you, if we get filled with the Spirit and quit being drunk with this world, when we get caught up in this world, I'm trying to make a point, and I'll make it in a minute. I think I'm running around trying to chase a rabbit trail here, but when we're
all right, brother, keep going.
When a man is drunk with alcohol, he's the most generous person, but we get filled with the Spirit of God and be sober-minded, we would be the right kind. We'd be filled with the right spirit and have the right generosity and have the right, wanting to befriend everybody with the gospel, and we'd want to stand up for what is right.
That's right, brother. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be active in this fight. If you are not standing for what's right, then you're falling for the world.
That's right. Amen.
And the first call that we have is to be sober. We're to be sober-minded in this present evil world that we live in. And the Apostle Peter he says this. I like this quote that somebody that I took from some studying that I was doing. You have to do with a mad enemy, a raging devil. You had need yourselves be sober, not only in meats and drinks, but as to the cares of this life, and whatsoever it is that is apt to intoxicate your minds and expose you to him. That's just it right there, brother. To intoxicate your mind. Anything that would intoxicate our mind means that we are not being sober. Now, we'll pick on the drunk and we'll pick on the drug addict, but if food or if anything else intoxicates us, or the cares of this life do, whether it's vacationing, whether it's money, whatever it may be.
Right.
There's rich people out there, brother, people that are not rich but want to be rich, that are chasing money, and that's all they care about. There's some that are chasing sex and fornication and wickedness, and they're intoxicated with it. And the Apostle Paul is saying, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But here the Apostle Peter is saying, be sober. Don't be carried away.
Absolutely.
Don't get your mind intoxicated.
Absolutely, there are people that are drunken on popularity, and they will sacrifice anything to be popular. You know, you've got people, we're not just talking about lost people. And that's one thing I want to bring up. Our point tonight is not to try to point out what all the lost do. The Satan, your adversary, he's not the adversary of the lost man. He's not his adversary at all, because he's his companion. He's the adversary of the Christian. Peter didn't write his epistle to lost people. He wrote it to Christians. And so he's the adversary of the one who's a child of God. And so we're talking to Christians tonight. We're trying to warn Christians to wake up, to be sober. You know, I can't tell you how hard it is sometimes, to wake my kids up in the morning, you know, or how hard it is sometimes for somebody to wake me up after I've been up half the night. You know, it's hard to get awake. You know, I mean, all you want to do is just go back to sleep. And I'm going to tell you, I think there are some people today who have become overwhelmed with just the absolute volume of troubles. They have just become overwhelmed with the barrage of filth, the barrage of worldliness, and they have taken this, the corruption. I mean, you take a look at how corrupt our government is. I tell you, brother, I don't know about you, but it just, every time I read something, one more straw on the camel's back, it just feels like it's going to break. You know, I mean,
I tell you, brother, You got this today with the Verizon keeping all the records of everybody's phone conversation.
Oh yeah, well, see, I'm a Verizon customer, so that made me feel real good.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, brother. They're going to figure out real quick. We preach the Bible. We tell the truth about wicked government, so the NSA can use that then.
Amen. But you know, like I said, you can get so overwhelmed. You get so overwhelmed with all the stuff that's going on, the IRS attacking attacking conservatives, attacking Tea Party people, attacking Republicans, attacking anybody they don't like. You know, you can say you've got all of the wiretapping, all of the Big Brother stuff that's coming down. You've got the Bilderberger group meeting. You got all this stuff. You know, if you're awake to any of that, some people just say, you know, man, I just don't even want to think about it anymore. And I just give. I give up. I'd rather go back to sleep and just be numb to it and just go on and just wait for Jesus. And they just don't live for God anymore, because it's like they have been bluffed and buffaloed by Satan to give up and stop serving God. And I'm not implying for one second that reading Matt Drudge and Alex Jones is serving God. Don't get me wrong for one second. But I'm simply saying that people, when people begin to read their Bible, when people begin to wake up, when people begin to understand the situation of this world, especially the United States and the world around them, it becomes very clearly obvious as to what's really going on. This is Satan's realm today. This is he is reveling today. The climate today is ripe for him to party with this old wicked world. I mean, he's got them stirred up. I mean, you've got pedophiles who think nothing of doing what they do. I mean, they're brazen and open and praising their methods. I read stuff every day, and the more I read, the sicker I get at it, because it gets worse every time I look at it. And people just want to go. They just want to go to sleep. They just want to go to sleep and not be sober.
Right. Well, and that's just it. But see, and here's the reason why they're going to sleep. The Bible's very clear that if you're not sober, then you're not going to do the next part of that verse. That's why we're commanded to be sober, because those who are not sober-minded are not going to be alert. They're not going to be awake, brother, because they're not sober. You see how that works? It's like a drunk. When somebody gets drunk and you're like, man, I got to sober this guy up so he wakes up because he's ready to pass out. And you can't get him awake, and he's got to do something. Well, that's just it. That's what the Apostle Peter is saying here. He's saying, be sober, be vigilant. To be vigilant means to be alert, to be awake, to be a watcher on the wall, to wake people up to what's going on. And that's exactly what he's saying. He said, if you're not sober, you'll never be awake. If you're intoxicated with this world, then you can't possibly be awake to what's going on.
Right. And, I mean, and why do we need to be awake? Not only for our own selves, but my goodness, I mean, I don't imagine there are too many kids sitting around listening to this radio show. I mean, I would think they're mostly adults listening to this radio show. I mean, we're talking to moms, we're talking to dads, we're talking to aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas. And I mean, listen, you've got people following you. I'm thinking we got pastors, we got Sunday school teachers. We've got leaders in their churches that are listening to this program, and they are leading people. And if you are not vigilant, if you take time off, the devil looks at that as an opportunity, and he will take your feet out from under you. He's waiting for that opportunity. He's your adversary. He is just waiting. I mean, listen, if you've watched two men in a boxing ring, they're studying each other. They're always moving. They're trying to figure one another out, waiting for that one opening when they can strike. And I mean, you know, usually when one guy gets cocky and drops his arms, that's when he gets popped. Because if you're not on guard, if you're not watching, if you're not vigilant, I mean, you throw yourself open for attack. And we've got people that are not, it's not just you, my friend. It's those who follow you. It's your children. And our children are suffering. I'm telling you, I'm in a battle right now trying to save my children. I'm telling you, the world is after my children, and I know that. And I will do anything I have to do, even if it means sacrificing my own self for my children. And I'm telling you, we better wake ourselves up, because the world is after our families.
Amen. That's right, brother. And the greatest adversary that we have is the devil, and he wants to destroy you. And I use this illustration when I talk about this. if you were out, if you and I, Brother Brandon, were out in Africa somewhere, and we were with our children, we were staying out in the middle of nowhere, out in the jungle somewhere, and there was reports that there was lions around, right? Now, you and I would not sleep that night, would we? We would set a watch, and we would not sleep. We would keep our eye out until that lion showed up. We would be up and ready to alert in case that lion came into the camp and wanted to destroy us, because that's exactly what he wants to do.
Absolutely.
Well, your Christian life is the same way. But we keep treating the devil like he's some kind of a pussycat that isn't going to hurt you, that isn't going to do anything to you. And we're not alert, and we're not sober-minded. And when a Christian, a born-again believer, is not sober-minded, he is not going to be alert, and the devil is lurking. He is walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he is ready to devour because we are not sober-minded. We are intoxicated with this life.
That's absolutely right. Kids are intoxicated. They're intoxicated with music. Grown-ups are intoxicated with music. And like I said, it just staggers the mind. Like I said, to see these Christians and us being on Facebook, we see it probably more than we would if we weren't out in the social media world. But you know, I know Brother Cooley, folks, and he may be from up north, but he's just an ordinary guy. He may be from up north, but he's a redneck from up north. I know, I've been around him. He wants to pretend he's citified, but he's still just a redneck from up north. And I'm definitely a redneck from down south. I mean, what I'm saying, Brother Cooley, I'm not putting you down. I'm simply telling people, me and you are not fancy people. Like we all put on the air, we're just normal, ordinary people. But we have put ourselves out there and used these tools that have been afforded us to try to reach people with the message of the gospel. And I know you're on Facebook and dealing with people more than I do, but seeing people who are caught up so much in science fiction and fantasy, it's so grievous to me to see. And you know, I used to work with a man. And I'm not trying to get back all off in Hollywood or anything, but I used to work with a man years ago when I was still working a secular job, working in Walmart in a vision center. And I worked with a pastor's son. And this pastor's son, he was working with the youth in his dad's church. And it was right during the time that Harry Potter was coming out. The Harry Potter books were big. And he was bragging on the Harry Potter books. And I looked at him and I said, man, how in the world can you think that that's okay? He said, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. He said, it's all just good fun. It's nothing real evil about it. And I said, are you serious? I said, what does your dad think about that? He said, oh, he likes it too. And I thought, and this guy's a Baptist preacher. I thought, who in the world allowed this man to lead a congregation? What are you thinking? How can you take the word of God and take it seriously if you're gonna sit and love a book about witchcraft? People are not sober. They're not serious. I mean, you know, you read the saints of God of old. You read the men of God of old. I know you read a lot of Charles Spurgeon. I read a lot of Charles Spurgeon. I read A.W. Tozier. I know he wasn't a Baptist, but bless God, he was a fine Christian man. You know, read these old men of God. And good night, man. They were so firm in what they believed. They were so serious, so sober-minded, so vigilant. I mean, they didn't let anything come between their walk with God and them. And today, oh my soul, people are losing it. They are just absolutely losing it. And that enemy, you know, brother, one thing about it, that roaring lion. And again, I'm no expert on lions, and I've told my congregation this many times, but I have watched enough, I've watched enough Wild Kingdom when I was growing up. Merlin, what was his name? Merlin Olsen, and Jim, you know, I watched enough of that stuff to know that when a lion goes after a herd of antelope or something, you know, he's not looking for a battle. He's not looking to find the biggest stag in the herd to take him on and prove how tough he is. He's looking for the straggler. He's looking for the one with the gimpy leg. He's looking for the sickly one. And that's why Peter mentions that, to be sober and be vigilant, to be careful, to be watching, because it's the one who's not who can't run fast. It's the one, and the reason people today are so easily caught is because their eyes are not on Jesus, and their eyes are full of darkness, and they're consumed with that darkness, and they can't see, and that's why they're I hate to use the word because it sounds so soft, but they're meandering through the Serengeti. They're just kind of just browsing around through the fields of sin. And the devil sees them, and he says, you know, there's easy prey right there.
That's right, brother. That's exactly what he sees, and that's exactly what he's looking for. He has no scruples. He has no character. This is who he is, and he wants to destroy. Once you get saved by the grace of Almighty God, he hates your guts. He hates everything about you. If he could send you to hell, he would, but he can't. So he wants to make your life a living hell on this earth, and he wants you to live in all manner of wickedness so then he can go to God and say, okay, God, let me kill him now because he's living wickedly. Let me just take his life and end it now. Let me take his life because he's not worth living because he's not living for you. He's a big liar, so let me just kill him.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely
exactly
right.
What he wants to do, brother.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think he revels in seeing, I mean, he does. I know he does. He revels in seeing us suffer. You know?
Yes.
You know, have you ever seen you ever watch a cat kill a mouse? That cat doesn't just come up and bite the mouse's head off. You know what he does? He plays with it. He wounds it, and then he toys with it. You know, I mean, I was watching. There was a program. It's called North America, and it's one thing. It's like I've said before. I make no bones about it. I have a television, but I don't watch stuff that's filth. And you know, there was a show, and it was showing a bobcat catching a some kind of a mole or something. And they were doing it in slow motion, and this bobcat, he waited and he waited and he waited and he waited until this, I mean, it just took 1 second for this little mole to pop his head up, and as soon as he did, this bobcat pounced, and he grabbed this little mole, and he tossed it into the air, and over and over and over, he tossed this thing up into the air. It was like he played a game with it, over and over and over, until finally he got bored with it, and then he devoured it. And, man, that's what the devil's doing with so many people. Brother, we're going to have to go to break. We've run through 30 minutes like it wasn't anything. And, we're already past due for breaks. So we're going to take a break. And folks, I want you to listen to the words of this song. This is one we've never played on the program before. And, I don't know what you think about it, but I'm telling you, every time I've listened to it, it's really spoke to my heart. It's a song called Blessings. And the call-in number tonight, 646-915-9266 on the Old Paths broadcast, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Give us lesser things to Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a seven sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear, and we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not.
Get you. I don't know what will. I'm telling you, we ought to thank God. You know, we go through troubles. We do. We deal with troubles. But, you know, the message of that song, the trials of this life, oftentimes are God's blessings in disguise because those things draw us near to Him. And one thing I want to be careful in saying, though, is don't take an attack from Satan. Don't take it and take it and get mad at God. Whatever you do, don't take it and get mad at God, because God, listen, he's not the author of confusion. Take that as an opportunity to draw near to God. And that's, we're going to talk about that before our show is over, brother. But you know, oftentimes people, they go through something and they, and instead of leaning on the Lord, they get mad at God. And we've got to remember who our enemy is. But getting back into it, Brother Cooley, you know, we were talking about being sober before the break, and you said you want to take it to the being vigilant part.
Amen, brother.
Go ahead and take it, sir.
All right. that word vigilant, it means to be watchful, to be circumspect. It means to provide for safety. It gives the idea of providing for safety. We are warned to be on our guard. We must be on our guard, though we have the victory in the past in certain areas of our lives. We've got to be watchful. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 43, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. You and I are to be on our guard, brother, for the devil is a lion, and he's after us, and we've got to be watchful. He said to Peter, and the apostles, he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be vigilant, be sober-minded, and then watch. You've got to watch. It means that we should exercise a careful circumspection, as one does when he's in danger. In reference to the matter, when we're looking at this, that we've got to be on our guard, for that evil one is around us. He's everywhere. He's that prince of the power of the air. And we've got to be awake, and we've got to keep awake and sleep no more. You've got to wake up.
Amen. You know, that word circumspect, often when I preach on that, I'm trying to think where that passage is at, where it said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You know, circumspect, it comes from two different words. If you take the word, you break it in half, circum from circumference, which means around, and spect. That's where we get spectacles, to look. I mean, we're to be looking. We're to look around us in life. We ought to, as the Word of God says, to try the spirits, whether they be of God. We need to try everything around us and not take things for granted. I'm talking about, listen, you need to be careful, because he, again, just like those boxers, they're studying each other. And as soon as he sees an opening, he's going to take that opening. And if you're careful, if you're watchful, the Bible says, that we're not to let the devil take advantage of us, because we're not ignorant of his devices. I would think if one boxer is getting ready to go up against another boxer, he has studied film of that boxer. If one football team is going to play another one, they've studied each other. They know what each other does. So as soon as they begin to see that move being made, they know how to counteract it. And I'm telling you, all we have to do is get in the Word of God. And if we get in the Word of God, we will see how the devil comes against Christians. And when we see these things, we can know for sure how to react to it. I mean, there's so many things I could go to right now, Brother Cooley. There's so many different things, and I don't want to jump ahead of you. I'm trying to let you kind of lead in this thing, but there's so many different directions I want to go with this right now. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful and be watchful that we don't turn and turn on people, thinking that people are our enemy. I'm telling you, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of, I can't even quote it all right now, but you know what it says. We're rulers of wickedness in high places, or however it says. I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember exactly. But listen, I'm just saying, we are to be mindful, be careful, and not get our eyes on somebody and think, that person is my enemy. Because no, that person is not your enemy. Satan is using that person very much like a boxer uses a boxing glove. That boxing glove may be slamming up against that guy's head, but that boxing glove is not his enemy. It's the hand inside of it. And I'll tell you, Christian, you better remember that people are not your enemy. You have an enemy, and his name is Satan.
Amen, brother. That's exactly right. And that's the hardest part, is for us to make sure that we don't, that we are very careful and understand that our wars are spiritual wars, and our problems are spiritual problems. When we take the government, for instance, Barack Obama, Barack Obama is a puppet. He is a puppet that is filled with Satan. That Satan and the New World Order, and even the New World Order, they are all ran by the devil. They are led by Satan. If you are not led by God, then you are being led by the devil. That's just scripture. He's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who we war against. That's who we wrestle against, not flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against them. We're wrestling against the devil, and that's why we've got to be spiritual in our walk with God. We've got to have a walk. God's people are destroyed all the day long for lack of knowledge. They are not walking with God. They don't have their sword in their hand. And there is an enemy, and God is saying, get your sword out. Get your armor on. There's a lion in the camp, and he's going to eat your children. And he's going to use people to eat your children. He's going to raise up an army like he did against Job. How he raised up an army of the Sabians and the others against Job, and they came in and they killed his flocks. And they stole his livestock. Why? They were satanically led. That's why.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I mean, I'm telling you, whether you're Satan will use anybody. He'll use family. He'll use husbands against wives and wives against husbands, children against parents, parents against children, church members against each other. Listen, Christian, don't you forget that. All it takes is for one believer to stop being vigilant. And they can be motivated, and they can be oppressed, and they can be led to be your boxing glove against you.
Amen, brother. That's right. And we have to be mindful of that. We've got to be watchful of that. And we've got to pray for these people. Pray for them which despitefully use you. That's a message for us all that we've got to understand, that we're to be in that kingdom living. We're to have that kingdom living when it comes to that Sermon on the Mount that Christ preached, and understand who our real enemies are. In Revelation 3:2, he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. He is telling us to be watchful, because he'll use our strengths against us. He'll use our weaknesses against us. He'll use anything. He'll use sports and entertainment and amusement. He'll use our loved ones against us. Those that you love, mine own familiar friend, has lifted up his heel against me.
That's absolutely right. Don't forget that. What you just said, you said a mouthful, brother. He'll use your strengths and your weaknesses against you. I heard that years ago, and I've never forgot it. He said, not only men fall in the direction of their weaknesses, but they fall in the direction of their strengths. And I'm mindful of something I heard years ago, and I think I've probably quoted this on the program before, but I know I've said it to you. I was listening to a man talking about having balance in the Christian life, and I mean, I know we're going all over the place with this, but I mean, it's important that we have balance, and I think that's a part of being vigilant, is having that balance, having that balance in our life, not getting too far out of balance one way or the other. And he was talking to a man who walked the tightrope, and he was going to try to find out about balance and try to get an illustration to give to his people when he preached. And he asked him, he said, sir, how do you balance with that bar when you're out there on that wire? How is it that you achieve balance? And he said, I never balance. I'm constantly correcting imbalances. And man, what a powerful truth that was to me when I heard him say that. I never balance. It's always, you have to be vigilant. You have to be diligent. You have to be faithful. You can't take a vacation, or the devil will dope-pop you as quick as quicker than you could blink an eye. He will take you out. I mean, we
Amen,
are
brother.
That's why Jesus said. He said, turn neither to the right hand nor to the left.
That's right, brother. We've got to be steady with that sword, and we've got to be awake. We've got to be sober-minded. We can't be caught up in the affairs of this life. That's the real problem, brother. This first hour, I think the greatest thing that we've tackled is the fact that God's people are intoxicated with the cares of this life. And if you're not alert, if you're not vigilant, if you're not awake, then you're not going to be ready for the second part of this show that we're giving, that we're going to do here, that's really going to deal with our adversary. We're just trying to get us all to be mentally and spiritually prepared to fight our adversary. You can't fight him if you're not sober. You can't fight him if you're not awake, if you're not ready to go, if you're not ready to war.
That's right. Amen. I mean, I sometimes I look out at our congregation. Brother, I said to him, I said, you know, if we worked a job like we served God, how long would we be employed? You know, and if
that's
we,
right.
You know, man, you know, I mean, I was in my bathroom the other night and I saw a spider crawling across the wall. And I got some toilet tissue and I got up on a stool and I smashed the thing. But you know, just simply fighting spiders and little bugs that get in the house. I mean, if I fought against the invaders of my home, I live out in the country, man. If you ain't careful with that, you'll have mice, you'll have bugs, you'll have everything. You live out in the country, and if I fought against those things the way some people fight against the devil, I'd be overrun.
You're right, brother. You would be. And see, that's how God's people are fighting today. They're not awake. They're not alert. They're drunken with Hollywood. They're intoxicated with money. They're intoxicated with vacations. They're intoxicated with the affairs of this life. They're intoxicated by sin. And when you are like that, you are not sober, and you will not be awake. You will not be alert and be ready for the enemy. You will not put up that. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence."
Mm-hmm.
For out of it flow the issues of life. Keep thy heart. What does that mean? It means to put a watch on your heart, put a guard on your heart, to be ready to war. Why? Because the battlefield is not out there. The battlefield is in your heart. Satan wants your heart. He wants to move it. And he has access to it as the prince of the power of the air. And he wants to move your heart in a direction that's away from God. And that's why you're to have the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. You're to be sober-minded. You're to be alert. You're to be awake and ready to battle.
That's absolutely right. Amen. And so, I mean, I hope and pray that there are some moms and dads listening tonight. I hope and pray that there are some pastors, some Sunday school teachers who are listening tonight, who will think to themselves, you know, how's my son doing? How's my daughter doing? Are they fighting? Are they battling? I mean, have we even fought that lately? What kind of a fight are our children in? And are we battling for them in prayer? Are we really laying them on the altar of God in prayer? Are we fighting? Are we a vigilant? I mean, they're in our care. They're under our watchful eye. I mean, your Sunday school class, those that you pastor, are you really looking out for them? Those people that God has put in your care. How about those people you work with? How about those people that you live next door to? I mean, are you battling for them? I mean, we're in a battle here. Anyway.
Hey, you gotta bring your wife. You gotta bring your wife. You gotta bring your children. They gotta be battling devil with. You know, I took my 7-year-old son, my 8-year-old son out street preaching down the street. We were in the town square. It wasn't a dirty place or a terrible place or anything like that. Just took him down the street to preach the gospel with me on the street corner with some other brothers in Christ. You know, and that's the first time he had ever been out there then. He's seen some things, you know, that hurt some people, but it wasn't nothing terrible. But you know what he did? He was out in the battle with me. He was standing there with me, and I said, listen, I'm going to bring my son. I want him to see this. I want him to battle for the Lord with me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You've got to take your family with you.
That's exactly right. And I've seen too many times. I know preachers, and I've seen them preach, and I've seen their children sit on the back rows and make paper airplanes and sit there thinking, when is he going to get done? When is he going to get through? And I think to myself, you know, oh my soul, that little boy, his heart is not in what his dad's doing. I've seen preachers preach. I mean, I've been in meetings. I've been in fellowship meetings when the dad was up speaking and and his son who should have been in there listening. And I mean, there's people I care about, and I'm not talking ugly about them, but I'm just saying I've seen them be up and pouring their heart out and delivering a message to men and their son be out running around out in the yard playing. I'm talking about a 10, 12 year old boy out running around in the yard playing when he ought to be in there listening. You know, we're not getting the next. I'm afraid we're not getting the next generation ready for battle, and they're going to be overtaken. And I'm passionately burdened for our youth, because I'm afraid that we're gonna lose a generation, brother, and we're already losing one.
That's right, brother. We have already lost one. We've you know, we're losing generations. Every the last three or four generations, we've lost the 18-year-olds that leave the home and go out into the world, and they don't come back. They don't come back to God because, you know, they are caught in the snare of the devil. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. And that's exactly what's going on. We got a lot of Demases out there. We got a lot of children turned into Demases. And, you know, there ain't not a whole lot of space between being a Demas and a demon there, brother. But some of them are demons and some of them are Demases. You know, that are saved, born again people that are getting swayed from the world. They're getting intoxicated with the world. And we've got to be sober. We've got to be vigilant because the devil wants our children.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned Demas. And I've often wondered about Demas. When you think about that, brother, he was with the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine what it must have been like not only to hear the Apostle Paul preach, but to have traveled with the Apostle Paul, to have been his apprentice, so to speak, to have, obviously Demas was a Christian. You know, I mean, he must have been a Christian, or why would he have gone in the first place?
Sure, Paul mentions it more than one time. He mentions
exactly.
It three times.
He was a helper. And he actually bragged on him in one point in one epistle. So you imagine how close he was. And I know we can certainly make that same argument and say, well, Judas was there and he would have right next to the Lord Jesus. But there's never any indication that Judas was ever saved. But yet there is definitely the indication that Demas was laboring in the work with Paul. And I mean, in something lured him away. And it seemed like to me it was simply, again, that he did not guard his heart, that he must have let his guard down, and just that subtle message. And I mean, the message is no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. It's no different than it was when Paul was roaming the Roman Asia Minor, when he was going up and down through those countries. You know, do what you want to do. You only got one life. You might as well live it up. I mean, you know, every soda pop commercial preaches that same message. You know, this is your generation. Make the most of it. Live it up. Enjoy it. And, brother, it's just so overwhelming what the youth are up against. And not just the youth, but I mean all generations. I mean, you know, the older generations, you know, everything they worked for has nearly been taken away from them. And, you know, it can seem futile to even keep trying. And they it seemed like, you know, what's the point? I'll just give up. And you have to keep your eyes on the Lord through all of it. You have to keep your eyes on the Lord. And I was reminded today as I was going through some really tough battles, you know, my mother, of all people, my mother, God bless her heart. She's such a faithful saint of God. She, like so many times in the past, pointed me to old Job. And, you know, Job lost everything he had. And yet he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him.
Amen.
You know, it's not about things. It's not about your life. It's about what's most important, and that's the Lord Jesus. And Demas missed that. And so many today, so many of pastors today have gotten their eyes off what's important. They've stopped being vigilant. They've stopped being sober. And they've let that lion, their adversary, devour them. They found themselves devoured. And you know, just because that joker's biting at you doesn't mean you've lost the battle. That just means you're in the battle. It doesn't mean you've lost. And, brother, we need to take a break. So let's go to break. And I'm going to mention that call-in number again. I want to thank all of our listeners tonight. We've got some that are listening, that have called in to listen. And you're certainly able to do that. If you're not able to log on, you can call in and listen. And the call-in number tonight is 646-915-9266. Let me give you that one more time. Get you a pen now. Write it down. 646-915-9266. This is the Old Paths Broadcast. Brother Brandon Teague, Brother Jason Cooley, we're going to take a break. And here's a good one. Most every independent Baptist knows this one. It's called I Have Been Blessed. Here is the Far City Boys from North Carolina, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Liberty calls, for all have gave some
Hadn't he been good? I'm telling you, my God has been good. You know, no matter how bad things may seem to be sometimes, I'm telling you people, if you'll just look at what God has done, it will take you up above the things that are going on. Yes, true, tonight we are talking about our adversary, the devil. But I don't want us to forget for 1 minute that we have a great and conquering God who is greater than all and who is able to take us and lift us up above the circumstances of life. Brother, I remember one time hearing Tom Malone talking about somebody. Said he asked him, he said, how you doing today, brother? He said, oh, well, under the circumstances. He said, what are you doing under there? He said, you're under grace. You ain't under them circumstances. I'm under there. So we're not under the circumstances. Praise God, we're under grace. And we ought to get out from under there. Amen. But anyway, glad to be back on the air. God has been good. We have blessed the Far City Boys from out in North Carolina. You know, there's different types of music from all over the country. They all sound different depending on what region you come from. But I sure like the way they sing. And that's a good song. I don't know who wrote that. I have no idea who wrote that song. But whoever did, they had their heart in the right place. And just want to give God glory for it. It's touched me. I've seen it work so many times to stir people's hearts to be thankful for what God has done. And hey, I can't enough how good God's been. In spite of all the things, in spite of all the problems, God has been good. Our call in number 646-915-9266. We're talking tonight. It's the Old Path Broadcast. Brother Brandon Teague with Brother Jason Cooley. And we are talking about the Satanic Deception Series, Your Adversary, the Devil. We have an enemy. Yeah, we have an enemy. We've talked about how we're to be sober. We're to be serious. We're to be to get our mind out of the we're to quit following these artifacts. We're like a fish, brother. You know, if you've ever spent any time, are we off the air? Well, we lost it there for a minute. Brother, you still there?
I'm here.
Man, we lost the show there for a minute. I'm telling you, I'm the devil is out to get this thing. He don't like being talked.
The power of the air.
He didn't like, I'm telling you, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the computer screen and it said, thank you, your episode is ended. He even sent me a thank you note there for a second. Amen.
I'm glad you're done.
But I was gonna say before that happened, have you ever, I'm sure you've heard of the Banjo Minna. Am I right? Do you have any idea? How many people? You must be one of the very few people in this world that have not heard of the Banjo Minna. But anyway, do you ever do any fishing?
Yeah, a little bit, brother.
Well, you know, do you ever use artificial lures?
Oh, you said a Banjo Minnow. Is that what you said?
Yeah, well, it's called a minnow when you're down here. I mean, up there it might be a Banjo Minnow. But but down here in the South, it's called a Banjamina. But anyway, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It moves, it looks very real, and it will fool just about any fish into thinking it's live bait. And boy, the devil, he's got some things that work just like Banjo Minnows, or Minnows, however you want to say it. You know, it looks real, and he's very cunning. Man, he's cunning. And, you know, he's very wily. He's, you know, the Bible uses so many adjectives to describe him and, you know, how he's so deceptive. I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about his deceptiveness and, he wants to deceive you. And, you know, that those Banjo Minnows or, you know, any other piece of lure that you can buy in a Bass Pro Shop or anything like that, you know, they look real. And they look good. to a fish. I mean, I wouldn't bite one, but, you know, they look good to a fish, but there's nothing in it but something, I mean, something to hook you and pull you away from where you belong, to a fish, that is. And Satan has got so many different things out there today that are luring Christians and pulling them away from the old black book and the truth that is in the old black book, the truth that builds families, the truth that that holds us near to the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just, you know, we've got to beware. Beware of the lures that are pull us away. I mean, once you're hooked, you know, you're at the mercy of the one who's got you hooked. I'll hush about banjo minnows and fishing and let you do a little talking.
Amen, brother. Well, no, that's a good analogy, and it's a good story because it's true. It's a picture of exactly what the Lord is trying to teach us about being sober and being alert and not being distracted by the cares of this life. And the next thing that he says to us is this. He says, because your adversary, for your adversary, the devil, we have an enemy. We have an enemy, and he's after us. And we should be sober and be vigilant and be very active because we have a subtle enemy to contend with. He walks about and he has access to us everywhere. He knows our feelings. He knows. He informs himself of all of our circumstances. He knows who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly who we are. And he knows exactly where we're at. And he's the prince of the power of the air. And Satan hates the fact that you and I are born-again believers. He hates the fact that we are going to dwell with the Lord for all of eternity, that our sins are forgiven us, and that we've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates that.
Mm-hmm.
And he is walking about seeking whom he may devour. He is looking for the one that is on with that is running around without their armor on. He's looking for the one that is out there playing games with the world, that's out on his territory and loving the world. He's looking for that person that's ready to give up, who's discouraged, who's war weary. He's looking for that person today.
Absolutely. And like I said earlier, you know, he's not looking for the one who's, he's not looking to battle. You know, that's the thing about it. You know, he's like that lion. You know, it always struck me as funny, brother. You know, the lion, he's the, they call him the Lord of the Jungle. But really they're cowardly because they go after the weak ones. You know, he's looking for the ones who are weak. And, like you said, the ones that don't have the armor on. And, he's looking for somebody that he can destroy. He's looking for the one. He's looking for the one who's just let their guard down. He's looking for the one who's just kind of dancing around the idea. You know, I remember a preacher saying, you know, that the time spent between knowing what is right to do and the doing of it will be spent contemplating sin. I never forgot that statement.
Mm.
You do. If you know what to, you know what's right, you know, the Bible says him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And if you know what you ought to be doing with your life, you know that you're not in the right place doing the right thing. And I'm talking to wives who are on the internet talking to men on Facebook that maybe they shouldn't be talking to. I'm talking to husbands who are on there catching up with old high school friends, and they're maybe having a little bit too chummy of conversation, and it hasn't become something that it shouldn't be yet, but it's just beginning to, and they're enjoying it. You better watch out, Buster, because I'm telling you right now, don't you think for 1 second that lion is lurking around the corner. He's waiting to pounce. Just waiting. Go ahead.
The Bible talks about giving no place to the devil. That place, see, the devil, that word place, it deals with the idea of topography, the study of the land, the devil is the study of he is a studier of the land. He's a topographer. He goes about and he searches out and he looks at the land and he surveys the land. He's a master of surveying the human life, and he's a master at looking at them and saying, "What will appeal to the flesh of this person? How can I cause them to fall?"
Right. You know, when you talk about neither give place to the devil, I used to tell this story. I told it a lot of times at our church. When I was growing up, I had a stepbrother. And I don't know if you know anything about stepbrothers, but they generally fuss and fight. At least in my experience, that's what happened. And my stepbrother, he was older than me, and he wasn't necessarily that much too much stronger than me, but he was somewhat stronger than me. He was a little older than me, and he and I would get into arguments about just about anything. And I remember times where we would get in arguments back where our garage was. We had a garage, and my stepdad closed it in, and he had won a pool table, and it was closed in. It was our game room. We had a dartboard and a pool table, and he and I used to play pool. And we would get into it playing pool. And, he'd say something to me and I'd mouth off at him. And brother, he would take off after me through that house. And I would make a beeline for my bedroom. And when I got to my bedroom, I would slam that door shut. And my doorknob did not have a lock on it. I mean, it ain't like today where kids go in the room, lock their door, and mom and dad stand there and beg them to open their door. I mean, we didn't have a lock. But I learned real quick that if I could get inside and get myself into that door and I could hold that doorknob, he couldn't turn it and get in. But, uh-huh. Brother, if he ever got his foot through the crack of that door, I mean, if he was a second early and got his foot through the crack of that door, all he had to do was lean his weight and he was coming in. And I'm telling you right now, if you leave the door of your heart cracked just a little, he's coming in. He will get to you. I'm telling you, he is relentless. I mean, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. You know, that word devour means to drink up or to swallow up. I've got a message someday I'll tell you about it. It's called Beware of the Vampire. And it uses that Hollywood image of a vampire and how Satan is just like that. You know,
he is, brother.
He's afraid of the cross, you know. He works in the dark. You know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of areas how he's just like that Hollywood vampire. But anyway, you know, if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. And he's just looking for an opening.
Yeah, you know, brother, I was watching a video at one time. I remember something about this where there was a lion that had come into a village or, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, and this man was trying to fight him, and he tore that man up. He just tore him up. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do to us. He wants to tear us up. He hates us. He hates the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates what we stand for. And he's walking about. He walketh about. God's people play with the devil like he's some kind of a cat, but the devil is not a kitty cat. He's nothing to play with. And the Bible doesn't say play with the cat and pet the cat or mess around with that roaring lion. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the Apostle Peter was very clear. He said that you've got to watch, you've got to be sober, because this roaring lion, I mean, he's ferocious. He's a roaring lion that seeks to devour you. He's not chained in hell. He's not asleep. The devil's not sleeping. He never sleeps. He's always out actively trying to bring the children of God down. What is he doing? He is walking to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Just like he said to God that day when in Job, when we go to the book of Job and we see in Job chapter 1 and verse number 7 that he's that roaring lion, and God said, where have you been? And he basically said, going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And God, knowing his heart, said, have you considered my servant Job? Why did God say that to him? Because Satan is the old accuser. And that's what he's doing. He is a roaring lion. He's walking about, seeking whom he may devour, and seeing who he can accuse. That's what he's doing.
That's right. He's looking for somebody that he can get to. Amen. And again, he'll use any method he can. He will use any method he can. And you know, he will use. Well, let me just sit here and think. He will use any method. He will use to draw you in. You know, I would think for you know, when a lion goes after his prey, it would make sense to run to the middle of the herd. But you know what happens when a lion gets after his prey? Most of the time that little one runs from the herd. He tries to go and outrun the lion. But I'm telling you, you get separated from the herd. And that's what people do. And the devil gets after him most of the time. Instead of running to the Lord's house, instead of running to those who can help them, instead of running to others to say, pray for me, pray with me, they run into isolation, and that's when the devil pounces on them. And again, like you said, you talk about a man trying to fight the lion. You cannot fight this battle by yourself. If you do, I wonder how many teenagers are out there tonight that are struggling with something, and they've got a mom and a dad who love them, and that would pray with them, pray for them, and probably are praying for them, but would pray with them. They've got a pastor that they could go and talk to who would love them and pray with them. But yet instead they're under attack and they run from the help they need. And I'm telling you, you're going to be devoured. You run.
You cannot run from the devil. That's not, there is no armor for the back. You and I cannot run. We have a roaring lion to bear us down and destroy us by violent opposition, persecution, and death. Thus, he was acting towards the followers of God, and we will suffer this grievous persecution from him. If we run, we will be destroyed. You have to fight. The Bible is very clear that you and I have an enemy that's a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he's ready to come to us. His sole goal is to devour our testimony, to steal our life. Consider this, brother, tonight, if you and I or one of us will fall in, if we fall into sin and the devil takes us into a trap and we fall for his wickedness, we will bring a lot of people down with us. We will hurt a lot of people. We'll hurt our children, our family, our testimonies. Many children are destroyed because we've not been sober and been vigilant. The devil is after us, and we must understand how wicked our opponent is. We must understand how wicked our enemy is, that he is the prince of the power of the air, and he has power beyond what we even understand it.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. You know, I'm thinking tonight, you know, he's not just a lion, he's a snake as well. You know, and you think about an old cobra. You know, a cobra mesmerizes his prey. And I think a lot of people are just, again, they're mesmerized. They've gotten mesmerized by some kind of wickedness, and it just overtakes them. You know, again, I don't know how many Christians today are caught up in things. You know, they're caught up in things like American Idol. They're caught up more in sports than they are in church. You know, they can't wait to get out of church service so they can go and catch the latest episode of some show. You know, they're just absolutely, their minds are captivated by that old serpent who has got them just like that cobra dancing before their eyes. He's waiting to strike. He's just waiting until he's got them mesmerized.
That's right. As soon as he's got him in his sway, and as soon as he's got him going, that's what the devil does. And he's very deceptive and deceitful. We don't understand the depths of his deception, how easily he was able to sway Eve in the garden, and how he dealt with her, and how he's a master of the feelings and emotions of someone. And he's able to take those emotions and use them against them. Take your own heart and use your own heart against you. That's what he's the master of doing. He did it with Eve. He's done it with all of God's creation. He tried to do it with the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord rebuked him.
Yeah, that's amazing to me. You know, that he had the nerve to try to do that with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's something people, and I know you may be saving it for another show. I'm not sure. I can't remember we talked about this. But I want to talk about it now because that really amazes me. And people, you've got to remember something. This is not any ordinary foe. This creature we're talking about is so, he has such audacity that he went after the Lord Jesus and he asked the Lord Jesus, or he didn't ask him, he told him. He said, if you will bow down to me, I'll give you all this. And what, if he had the nerve, the audacity to ask the Son of God to bow down before him, do you think that you are any match? Do you think he's afraid of you? I mean, brother, I think there are people who are so blind that they literally think that just because they got saved, the devil has rolled over on his back and is wagging his tail like a puppy dog wanting you to scratch his belly.
That's right. That's right, brother. You're absolutely right. I mean, I remember Billy Sunday, something that he did in one of his biographies somewhere, it was read that, he was shadow boxing one day before a couple hours before a revival meeting that he was holding, and he looked and somebody drove by and asked him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, I'm shadow boxing the devil and I'm going to knock his teeth out and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." Well, you know what? That same day, right before he went to get on the platform to preach, a newspaper was handed to him, and it was a picture of his son who had been in a drunken stupor and arrested for it. And that totally destroyed that man, and he couldn't even preach. And listen, I firmly believe it was because he was acting like he was going to fight the devil spiritually, and it's insane to play with the devil like that. You do not do that. Listen, the Archangel Michael durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but saith the Lord rebuke thee.
Absolutely right. I mean, you are no match for the devil. And God nowhere in his word tells you to fight the devil. And somebody might say, well, sure he does. He says, you know, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But you better remember what that verse says. It says, submit yourselves unto God. And then it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Mm-hmm. It's not you doing it. It's you submitted unto God. And with you being submitted unto God, you're letting God fight your battle. It's not you. You're doing it in the power of the Spirit. You're doing it with the Word of God. You're doing it with the sword of the Spirit, with the shield of faith up, with that breastplate of righteousness and that helmet of salvation. Brother, we done run past our 30-minute mark. We've got about 30 minutes left in this program, and we're going to take one last break. And before we go, I just want to thank our listeners again and want to invite folks if they'd like to call in, want to comment. Maybe you got a testimony you'd like to share, whatever it may be. That'd be great. If we had a pastor somewhere want to call in and give a testimony, or maybe some Christian worker, or maybe just some mom or dad. And I don't want you to give glory to the devil tonight now. If you've been through it and God's pulled you out of it, don't glorify sin, but if you give God the glory for the victory over Satan, love for you to call in tonight. 646-915-9266. Well, Jason, we're going to go to break. And, man, this is one of my favorite songs. We played it before here on the program. And this is one of my theme songs for life. Brother Doug Ramage, I Want to Die on the Battlefield. We'll be back in a minute.
One day, as I was thinking of unseen things above, my Savior came unto me.
Amen. I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war with glory in my soul. Amen. It is a battle. It is a battle. It is a battlefield. And, you know, you're going to fight the devil. There is no way around that. You are going to be in a battle with him. And it is a, you know, Brother Cooley, I guess if I have to give the devil credit for anything, and I hate to give him credit, but I can say this, he's consistent. He has more consistency than most Christians because he doesn't quit.
That's right, brother. He doesn't quit. He's always working.
Amen. He is a created being. He is a powerful being. Understand something though, folks. I want to mention this. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipotent. And he's not omnipresent. Did I say that already? I don't know if I said, but he's not. He doesn't have God's attributes. I mean, he's not everywhere all the time, and he doesn't know everything you think. But he studies you. He's got his workers studying you, and I'm telling you, they've got you figured out pretty well. And so they know how to tempt you. I mean, you've got an adversary, and he's got, again, he's got a crew working on you. And that's why you have got to go to God to get the victory. Brother, why don't you take us into that last segment here?
Well, brother, here's how we get the victory here. You know, we have an adversary. Yeah, it is kind of a scary thing to have a lion, a roaring spiritual lion, like that has those attributes that is after us. But the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 9, yeah, you have this lion, this adversary, but the Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
Why don't you define that word steadfast. There's some people don't even understand what that means.
That word steadfast means not to move. It means to always be in a mode of fighting, to be steadfast, to be ready, to be alert, to be unwavering in our fight for the Lord. We're to be steadfast.
That, you know, that's one thing I've noticed time and time again. God doesn't ask us to charge. He asks us to stand.
That's right.
He doesn't ask us to charge. He asks us to stand. And not to back up, but to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We are to stand upon the rock. Amen?
Amen.
Standing upon the rock. He is the rock. He is our strength. He is the source of our power. You can't fight the devil. You don't have the strength to fight the devil. You're not more cunning than the devil. You don't have more wisdom than the devil. Little sheep, I'm telling you, you cannot figure out the wolf. You simply run to the safety of the shepherd.
That's right, brother. We can't run away from him. If we run, like we said in Ephesians chapter 6, there is no armor for the back. There is none. If you and I run away from him, we will be devoured by that lion. He will destroy us. We are not to run away from him. But I'll tell you one thing about the devil that the Bible says clearly, again in James chapter 4, verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You and I are supposed to submit ourselves to God first. Why? Because the God of all grace will be there for us. Because in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. We're to submit to God. If we're submitted to God, we're in God's hands, and we have the armor on, and we're ready to battle the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That word resist, it means literally to stand against, to withstand, to act in opposition to oppose him by standing unmoved and uninterrupted. An army resists. If you will take the sword of the Spirit out, the Word of God, the King James Bible, and you will take that sword out and you will fight that devil, if you will do that, he will flee from you. What did he do to Jesus Christ? Jesus didn't use a bunch of heavenly power that he had. He didn't just speak the devil out of existence. He didn't do any of that. What did he do? He took the Word of God and he said, it is written.
That's right. It is written.
The way you fight the devil, Brother Brandon, is it is written. That's how
Amen.
You fight him.
Amen. I want to point out something in 1 Peter 5:10, where he said, after that ye have suffered a while. Understand something. This is so important that you get this. Again, this is the reason why we're doing this show. There are so many believers who simply think that just because you got saved, the battle's over. That, oh, now that I'm saved, it's going to be a cakewalk. And when it doesn't turn out to be that way, and when you get, when you think it's going to be a cakewalk, that's when you end up getting devoured. And when the Bible says devoured, listen, it doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but you lose your effectiveness. You lose what God intended for you. I mean, you become chewed up and spit out, and you're rendered ineffective for Christ. Don't think for one second that you're not going to be in a battle.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You are going to go through it. You're going to suffer some. Jesus said, you know, that trials are going to come. That count it all joy when you go through tribulation, when you suffer persecution, when you go through those trials and tribulations. We're to count it all joy when we endure diverse temptations. We're going to suffer a while. But listen, here's the thing about it. It makes you perfect. And when that word perfect doesn't mean we're, it doesn't mean we become sinless. We don't achieve sinless perfection. But what does it do? It makes us battle hardened. How do you think a man goes from being a buck private to being a general? How? Because he's faced the enemy so often that he understands the enemy. He's studied the enemy. He's become wise in the ways of battle. That every battle, every time you go through something and God gives you a victory, you come out of that victory a little more battle hardened. You come out of that victory a little more thankful for your life and what you've been given by God. I'm telling you, you appreciate it a little bit more than you did before. And it makes you more wary for the battle. And the Bible says he'll make you perfect. He will establish you. Listen, you get more sober-headed. You get more clear-headed. You get strengthened. You're more ready for it next time and settled. You're not afraid anymore because you know God is going to fight those battles for you.
Amen, bro. That's exactly right. The battle is there. The battle is on. God is going to be there for you. If you will just submit to God, he will help you fight the devil. He will, but you've got to know the Word of God. You've got to know your sword. And too many Christians know the TV guide instead of the spiritual guide for their life.
That's true. Yeah, that Bible's just a paperweight. Mm-hmm. It's just something to hold things down, or it's there as a coaster for the TV guide to set on the Sunday. Can't tell you how many times I've seen that in houses. Or it's a display piece. Sits in the middle of the coffee table. You know? I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've been in somebody's home and I say, y'all have a Bible? Oh, yeah. They bring out the family Bible that's never been used.
Yeah.
I'm telling
you. That's right, brother.
I've got both of my grandfather's Bibles. One of my grandfathers was a pastor. And Matthew chapter 5, that thing is wore completely out. And Acts chapter 1, that thing is wore completely out. And Romans, that thing is wore completely out. You know, that man was a gospel preacher. 1 Corinthians 15, that thing's wore completely out. He was a preacher of the gospel. My other grandfather, he was a deacon in the church. I'm talking about the entire thing is filled with sermon notes. A sword that's been used will show battle scars.
It sure will, brother. It sure will. When we are doing what God wants us to do and we are battling with that sword, you can tell. And the devil knows whether a Christian, because when he has come, and you see how the Lord rebuked Satan, he rebuked him with the word of God. Michael the archangel, when contending, Michael the archangel, one of the most powerful angels in creation. But what did he do? He saith, the Lord rebuke thee. He did not go to him and say, let me just pick you up and throw you with my mighty strength. No, he knew that he could not battle Satan, that he had to have the Lord. He needed to rebuke him. And he said, the Lord rebuke thee. He took the word of God and he rebuked him with it. And that's exactly what you and I have to do. We have got to take our sword, we've got to take the word of God, and we've got to rebuke the devil. The Bible is very clear about that, that you and I must do that for victory. We can't get it anywhere else. We can't yield to his temptations. But we've got to put on that spiritual armor. And, though he is mighty and he is very powerful, he is not mightier than the Almighty. He is not God the Father, and he cannot stand up to the Word of God. He fears the Bible. That's why when you resist him, he will flee from you.
Amen. We played their songs on the program, but there's a group called Seminole String Band. We had them here with us not too long ago. They've got a song called It's Just a Book.
And it's a song that they wrote, and it's from traveling this country and preaching on the streets. And some of the lines in that song says, if it's just a book, why are you getting so nervous? If it's just a book, why are you getting so mad? If it's just a book, you know, why are you, it says it's just a book that knows every thought you've had. I mean, listen, it scares the devil's crowd to preach the book. And, you know, that's why the military doesn't mind burning Bibles, but doesn't want to burn the Koran. They want to get rid of that book. That's why they don't want that book read in schools, because there's power. You know, they don't want prayer. They don't want calling on God. They don't want they don't want the book read. You know, brother, something I'm always mindful of. I think about a lot when it comes to fighting the devil. The power that God has over him. Listen, you remember what Jesus said about him? He said, behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I believe with all my heart that was when he rebelled against God.
Yep.
Now, I've seen lightning fall. It falls faster just about than the eye can blink. God smacked him down, and he fell like lightning. God smacked him down as if he were a mosquito in his face. I'm telling you, we can't do it, but brother, God can. God can. He fights battles. He is the master of fighting the battle. And if we'll just turn it over to him, if we'll turn our problems over to him, if we'll turn our temptations over to him, if we'll turn our marriages over to him, if we'll turn our child rearing over to him, if we'll turn our problems at work over to him, if we'll turn, you know, all our issues with our neighbor over to him. The problem that you're having with the guy down the street, whatever, the guy at work, whatever it is, the family issue you're having with that cousin of yours or whatever it may be, that financial mess that you, if you'll turn that situation over to God and let him give you wisdom, whatever that temptation it may be, whatever that attack you're going through, if you will turn it over, you don't have to fight the battle anymore.
Amen, brother. When we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he flees. He takes off. He's not going to stick around for that because he doesn't like the word of God. It's the only thing that can destroy him. The Bible is the only thing that can get rid of him and to get him away from you. And you've got to rebuke him and his devils with it. You use the word of God and they won't stick around. They don't want anything to do with the word of God. They hate it. And you know what? This whole sinful, sick world hates God too. And its world is Antichrist. And once you start quoting the Bible, you'd be surprised how many devils will leave the area you're in. They'll take right off because they can't handle that word of God being preached to them.
Amen. You got some scripture you want to throw on there?
Amen, brother. Quite a few verses in the Bible that deal with this. We're to resist him steadfast in the faith. This reminds me of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We need that shield of faith. We need to be steadfast in the faith. That means you're going to have to learn that book, and you're going to have to war against the devil with that book and against his kingdom with that book. You're not going to be able to war with anything else. You're going to have to be steadfast in the faith. You're going to have to put down everything else and start picking up that book. And you know what else? The Bible's very clear that, just remember, friend, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You and I are not alone, brother. There's an army of God's people out there. There are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal out there. There are men out there that are serving the God, and your brethren have suffered greatly in China, in other parts of the world, in the Middle East, and everywhere else. They suffered persecution. The prophets, so suffered the prophets before you. We are not alone. We can take strength from that.
I was going to ask you if you're familiar with that Iranian pastor right now who's back in Iran, who's in prisons. I think his name is Saeed Abedini.
I have heard of him, yes.
Yeah, my mother has been following him on his wife on Facebook. And, you know, he's being persecuted right now. He's being tortured every day. He's being asked to deny Christ. And he'll probably end up being a martyr, you know. But I said last night, we were talking about him last night up here. We had our prayer meeting. And I told him, I said, you know, you ought to rejoice with him that he's getting, you pray for him, but rejoice with him that he is being able to suffer for Christ. And I can guarantee you that he is experiencing the presence of God so real. Even though he's going through all kinds of, all manners of torture and beatings daily, God will never leave his people. God will be there. And though this body of flesh may be destroyed, they can't take his spirit. They cannot take his spirit that communes with God. And this old flesh, this old flesh is all that the devil can attack. He can't take your spirit. All he can do is attack this flesh. Praise God, I'm telling you, your battle is not a fleshly battle. Your battle is a spiritual battle. And you have got to fight back spiritually. You can't fight back in the flesh. That's why we're not to turn against those who he sometimes uses to attack us. Because that battle's not against them. We got to keep reminding people that, brother, because it tears families apart. It tears marriages apart. It tears homes apart. It tears churches apart. It tears whole families. I mean, you know, especially when maybe the mom of the family or the dad of the family, you know, grandma or grandpa pass away, and all the devil just uses that time to bring up old wounds, old problems. People begin to fight over things, and people act ways they shouldn't act, say things they shouldn't say. I can just bring up illustration after illustration after illustration. But again, we need to remember that. Again, they're just the boxing glove. He's the hand inside the glove. But
amen, brother. That's absolutely right. And also, in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. We're in a battle. Don't forget about that. Don't think it's strange though when battles come, when the war gets stoked up, when the attack is on, brother. Don't think it's strange that this fiery trial is to try you, though some strange thing happened unto you. No, it's not strange for the devil to attack you. It's not strange for his kingdom to attack you.
Amen. Amen. We got about 5 minutes, brother. That's about all we've got left. This show is gone. It's gone very fast.
Well, amen, brother. The greatest thing that we can say, we didn't leave it shorthanded here because we start out with the warning of be sober, be serious, be alert, be awake, be ready. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. He's there. He's real. But you know what? The Word of God has the victory. The Bible promises the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you will submit yourself to God and resist him with the Word of God, he will flee from you. He'll get away from you. He won't want anything to do with the person that uses the Word of God to defend themselves against him.
That's absolutely right, brother. I mean, you know, it's like I used to hear that old joke, you know, somebody brought a knife to a gunfight. Well, you know, he's brought deception to a fight, a spiritual battle that's being fought with the Word of God. He's a match for it. He is no match for it. I mean, a lie is no match for the truth. And, darkness is no match for light. You know, you can say, I mean, you know that verse over there in 1 John, I'm not in 1 John, but in John chapter 1, where the Bible says the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. It doesn't take anything to dispel darkness but the light. You know, you can walk into that dark house and all you got to do is flip that switch. And that one bulb comes on and all of a sudden the darkness is gone. In the very same way, if we'll just go to God, he is He is the light in the midst of the darkness that we may be battling in. If we'll go to him and we'll take the word of God and we listen, the Bible says, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. He's the light of the world. And if we will simply lift up Christ, it will dispel our darkness. If we'll simply preach Christ, if we'll simply turn to the word of God and fight back with the word of God, then darkness cannot impede light. And praise God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful tonight that I have Jesus. I'm thankful tonight that I'm saved. I'm thankful tonight that I have a Christ who has made me victorious over the enemy. Brother, we got about a minute and a half. If you want to close us out tonight with something, go right ahead. We've got just a few moments.
Just be ready, folks. Be prayed up. Anytime you decide you're going to live for God, the devil's going to come after you. Protect your children. Bring them along with you. Fight the devil as a family together. The family that resists the devil together stays together. You've got to battle, and everyone's got to be in their proper place, and they've all got to be ready to battle.
Amen. And next week, we're going to be back fighting the devil again. We're going to be back shining more light on Mr. Darkness. And I'll tell you, I'm thankful that we have begun this series, and we're going to keep fighting, we're going to keep exposing him as long as the Lord leads us in that direction. Brother Jason, I'm thankful for you, brother.
Amen. Thank you, brother. It's a blessing to be on here with you.
Yes, sir. And we'll be back at it again next week. I just want to say thank you to our listeners. And keep listening to the Old Paths broadcast, as we say here every week on the program. Let God be true, but every man a liar. I'm Brother Brandon Teague for Brother Jason Cooley, and we will see you next week right here on the Old Paths broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you next time.
Stacked in stones for you and me.